And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. We're going to talk about buying or selling the truth. Buying or selling the truth. Number two, the new famous taco caper. The new famous taco caper. We're going to look at some blessings that are in the baguettes. I'm doing that just for Wonder Julie, just to help her. And we're going to close it out with Temptationville.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, maybe a little bit too much today. Spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Praise report, no problemo. Do you got something you want prayer for? No problem. Do you got something that you just want to share or talk about? No problem. 972-445-0770. Of course, any topic is open for conversation because this show is a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. Remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Couple things to start off with. When do I get to the taco caper? Da-da-da-da. Do we have any Dragnet music? Da-da-da-da. That's funny. All right, so here, I'll tell you what happened in a second. But let me start off by saying howdy-ho. Howdy-ho. How you doing, John?
Big John. Big John.
From the Blessed Roofing Company, guess what we did yesterday, and then we fired it off to him today, and then we already got it in the rotation. We got the first commercial done for the Blessed Roofing Company. I want to give a hands clap to Jennifer and Tiffany, everybody helping. Julie, I don't know if you were in or not, but they did a great job. I'm very happy. I sent it off to John. He's very happy. We're very happy. And you know what happens when you have happy people smiling all over the place. Let's just talk about the Blessed Roofing Company, and you'll get to hear the spot in a little bit. First and foremost, his work is blessed. I love that he thinks of it in those terms because the Lord's blessing, pouring the Lord's blessing out on somebody is cool. Now, he's not the only roofer, so stop that. Nobody's saying, well, he's the only roofer you could ever use. No. And in fact, I'll tell you what, you really want to make sure that you're supportive of all people that have a sincere Christian faith. But John is a man of action who steps out in faith when he's doing something, which is why he's our first sponsor, and we have three more that are on the way. Let me say something, though. This is a season of hail. Now, I'm newer to Dallas. We went through this last year. I didn't understand what that could really mean until I went to a car lot after a hailstorm, and then I looked, and it was like, whoa. Well, if you need a free inspection, you want to get in touch with John. 469-BLESSED. 469-BLESSED. You want to keep in mind, they don't just do residential, they do commercial work. So if you're a business person and you're like, I love this, and I love hearing about this, this is the guy you want to talk to. Give him a holler. You can call him at 469-BLESSED. Also, theblessedroofingcompany.com is the URL. And you might be saying, well, why do you keep talking about that? Because he's sponsoring the show. That is why. And pretty soon we're going to have a new real estate agent going to be joining our little group. And after the real estate agent, we're going to be having some financial services joining our group. Yay! So we're just putting it together piece by piece. And then we have a ministry that reaches out to people, takes the gospel all over the world, going to be joining our group. Very cool. But I do want you to check out John, 469 Blessed. 469-BLESSED. That's the phone number. The Blessed Roofing Company. Free inspections. Doesn't cost you to get an inspection. That's a pretty good deal. Right there. All righty. I haven't decided what order I'm doing anything in. poor Julie. Sometimes I worry because, you know, I am not that normal. Here's our schedule. This is what we're doing. I can hit the brakes, okay? It's just what I do in between the brakes. That's the part that nobody can quite figure out, myself included. So I'm going to drop an interesting piece on you real fast. For those that want to have a little harder trivia, and especially I got Leonard out there, and Leonard's our trivia champ so far, so we appreciate that. But you can't look this up unless you're completely stumped for 10 minutes. Well, 5 minutes. Okay, if you know it right away, no problem. Who was King David's great-grandmother? I did not tell this answer to Julie, so don't sit there and jump on Julie's case if she doesn't know it because I didn't tell her. Okay? I'm just telling you now. So you call it. That's my fault, Julie. I apologize. And just because of that, I want to give Julie a blessing. So we were talking the other day about Bible versions. Remember we had that little conversation?
Yes.
About Bible version. And I am not a one-version-only kind of guy. I mean, certainly there are four Greek texts. You got to pick which Greek text you want to do. And then English translation-wise, there's probably about 50. I think there's 52. I've read 38 cover to cover. I think I've read 38 cover to cover. So we were just talking about that. And some people do exactly what she does. And my wife does this too. That's why I found it to be amazing, is sometimes my wife will read and she gets into the begats.
Yeah.
And you start reading begat, and this person begat this person begat this person begat this person. I don't think it's a stretch to be able to say, this guy had this as this person as a son, this guy is this. It's no problem there. But typically, when you go through the begats, it's a little like mold because you're going, when you go through mold in Leviticus, you're like going, okay, well, you know, I really don't have a wall that has all that mold on it. You know, there are some people that have that occasionally, but some people bog down a little in the begats. So I said, hey, you know, don't worry about that. You know, pile, you know, get through that, go over that, get to the next thing. She can always come back to that. It's not an issue. But there was one superb blessing in the begat that I did want to bring up that a lot of people do miss, and it's not something I caught. James Ryle taught this about 35 years ago, but I had not heard it before. It is in prior commentaries. I just had never saw it because I would read the begats and go. So this is an interesting thing. We know, right, that Mary, the virgin, was in the process of bringing Jesus Christ forth on the earth, right? Virgin, Mary, got it. You know who else is in the begats? Rahab from Joshua chapter 2, the prostitute. She is also in the lineage of bringing forth the birth of Christ. And I love this point that's been made. Look what God does to bring about what he wants to accomplish. He was able to use the virgin and the prostitute and everything in between to bring about the birth of Christ. See, now that's cool. I think that's cool. I just think that's like, see, God uses everybody. He's not limited. So that's something to keep in mind, that if you think you're a person that is not, I'm not good enough, God can't use me. Okay, one, God can use anybody he desires. He often doesn't ask permission. He just does. Number two, before everybody gets high and mighty, I just want to point this out. God used a donkey to rebuke a prophet. Now, I will give you credit that the prophet was using the wrong type of process in his prophesying power. But I will also tell you that God opened up the mouth of a donkey and rebuked a prophet. So before you get too excited, you just step it back and think about that. Wait, God used a donkey to rebuke a prophet. little bit of humility in the human race, probably an excellent idea for many of us. We are going to do some deep Bible teaching, just to let you know, in just a few minutes. But before we get there, I know that my wife cannot hear me right now and will most likely not listen to the full broadcast. Because she hears me all the time, as she puts it, she hears me all the time. Why does she got to hear me on a radio show?
Good point.
So I'll get to, I'll tell you a little secret. I had an experience happen to me the other day, and I'm calling it the taco caper. So I was driving home from the studio 2 days ago, and I had very little gas. How much is little gas? Maybe 10 miles. You know the little light that goes on? You ever had that go on?
It doesn't mean enough. The
yeah.
E?
Yeah, it no. doesn't mean enough,
it
right?
Does not.
That's a great point. And I'm driving, and the little light goes on, and guess what? I'm still driving. And I think they should have a secondary bell where it comes on and goes, hey, I really mean it. Like kind of thing to tell you it's getting close. So I decided, oh, I'm going to pull over and get gas. I'm not going to make it home. I have to get gas. There's nothing I can do. But while I was there getting gas, right by the gas station was a Taco Bell and a Jack in the Box. And I thought, wow. Now, I know that Taco Bell has better tacos in general, but I haven't had a Jack in the Box lousy taco in a long time.
You did not.
Oh, not only that, but wait. $1.19 for two of them. That's how well I know this. What did I do? Put it on my credit card. That's what I did. $1.19. Don't ask. I'm sitting there, I go through, get gas, get the two tacos. I'm driving home. Now, these are Jack that I'm talking about. So in truth, they're, you know, unique. And I'm thinking while I'm eating one, I don't know if I'm going to tell my wife I'm eating this, right? Because, you know, that's sneaky and wrong. Go, guess who hears that, knows that, and watches that? God. So guess what happens while I'm eating the first taco? Somebody five cars ahead slams on their brakes on the freeway while everybody's going 80. I have to slam on my brakes like everybody else. Guess what happens to the other taco in the bag on my front seat? Poof! Like a bazooka all over the front of my passenger seat area. The fake lettuce and everything all over the floor. The taco laying there on the carpet. Guess what I'm getting away with?
I'm just wondering if you ate it.
I'm not going to answer that question under penalty of incrimination and indictment and guilt. But I was sitting there thinking, very funny, Lord, very funny. I was trying to sneak off a taco, and then that taco decided to become a bazooka, land all over the front area of my car. I had to pull over to the side and pull shreds of lettuce out of the front of my carpet and cleaned everything up. And then I did finish it.
I knew it.
It's $1.19. You got, okay. That's probably not the best. What do I got, a minute?
Oh, yeah, we should probably break.
Okay, I'm going to break and come back. Don't tell anybody. She's going to hear this at some point. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
Just as I am.
Wow, what a roof!
It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Oh, tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey. You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Am I not saved? Am I saved one day? I'm not saved the next day? Am I kind of saved? Am I kind of not saved? How come I don't feel saved? I feel saved. Now I don't feel saved. And why are tacos going up? Those are the questions you're asking.
Okay, so the horses go on these races. The Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont Stakes. If they win, they get to then race in the Triple Crown. And what the Triple Crown is, for those that don't know, it's the first horse to Jack in the Box.
The David Spoon Experience. The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Just want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Some people want to know, well, does it bother you when people don't call?
Nope.
This is terrible, right? So you know where I learned that from. I won't even tell you where I learned that from. But here's the deal. I believe that this show is supposed to be following the Lord the best that we can. And if you need to call in or you want to call in or it's helpful to call in, do it. We'll just trust that the Lord will take care of it, because worrying about it ain't going to change it. And I know somebody who's got 30 million listeners on the radio every day didn't take a single call for a year and a half. He's got a name. His first name is named after a rock band. That's all I'm going to give you. So who's the biggest person on radio you know? Get it? Does that make sense? Okay. All right. I was a young, you know, purveyor of recreational pharmaceuticals. I was that kind of guy that knows those kind of things. 972-445-0770. If you want to email me, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Facebook, David Spoon Media. Website, David Spoon. YouTube, David Spoon Media. I think you're getting the message on the overall. I will tell you this. We have some interesting things on the YouTube channel. And before we get into the YouTube channel, let me at least give you the answer for the first question. Who was King David's great-grandmother? It was Ruth. Aha! I didn't tell you that, huh? That's my fault.
No, but thank you to the internet. I looked it up.
So you went on the internet and looked it up?
Yep.
You're so funny. Now, you do have the next one. That's a tough one, though, the Ruth one, because you got to really pull that out of the genealogy. So,
right.
All right, so the other one I gave you, I'm going to ask this question. Where is the scripture? I think we have it. Where is the scripture? Is it cleanliness is next to godliness? Where is the scripture? Cleanliness is next to godliness. If you know where that is, then you can call us at 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770. You got to think it through, You don't need to spend a long time. You can just call and tell, you know, tell what your answer is. You know, let Julie know. She'll just record it and just tell me it's not a problem. Let me go into this element here. I want to talk about the truth. And there are passages like John chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, that have been attributed, follow this, to a variety of writers, not the least of which Einstein is one, Shakespeare is another. You know, like Shakespeare came up with that. It's so funny. So Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 32 said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Now that phrase has been used in social settings to convey that if you tell the truth, in whatever the circumstance, that you will find freedom. Of course, that is not what it says. Okay? Do you understand that? In fact, do we have that? I don't know if you – I didn't ask you to get it, so don't worry if you can't find it. But do we have that the Bible thing, the Bible baloney thingy? I don't know. Can you play that real fast?
Hello.
Hello.
It's now time for David Spoon's Bible Baloney Beatdown. Bible Baloney Beatdown.
I'll knock your brains out of your head, honey.
That's right. Here's the key in understanding something like that. So you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Jesus didn't say, so 2 + 2 = 4. That is a truth. Know that truth, you'll be set free. That's not what he was talking about. You see, that's taking scripture and using it any way you want to. You know, Tom Brady is the best quarterback there is in football. Oh, you should know the truth. The truth shall set you free. Well, first of all, we don't know that that's true. Okay, well, we kind of know that's true because of the numbers. But what I'm scoreboard people. But the bottom line is this. That's not the truth Jesus is talking about. In fact, in context with John chapter 8, the entire 5, 6, 7, 8 verses prior, and then the verses after, all about the truth, all about the Messiah, all about being free from sin, all about the reality that Jesus is the truth. And that if you know the truth, you'll be set free. You got to know Jesus to be set free. And so people are like, I just want to use the truth that I like. Remember, Pilate, what is truth? Well, Proverbs 23:23 says this. This is Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. We're supposed to buy the truth and sell it not. In other words, you don't want to buy into some bizarro truth. You don't want to, you're not talking about philosophical truth. You're talking about the truth as Jesus declared the truth. Now, why is that important? I'm going to tell you, it all comes together. Just hang in there. Oh, I don't know if you know this verse or not. We'll see. This comes out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. Ooh, not good. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that they will all be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. Yow! That is some serious scripture. And people are like, well, God wouldn't do that. Okay. You see, when you're reading the Word of God and it says God does it, ding, 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 okay? What happens is people hear the truth and they refuse it. They reject it. They reject it because of their wickedness, because of their pride, because of their sinfulness. It's amazing that the first message that Jesus preached is the first message that John the Baptist preached, which was the first message that Peter preached, which was the first message that Paul preached. And you think, well, how do you know it's the first message Paul preached? Read the book of Acts. All four had the same first message. All four of them. repent. It starts off with, uh-oh. And the word repent means to turn. Repent, this is wrong, you're doing wrong. John the Baptist, Jesus, Peter at his opening sermon in Acts chapter 2, repent. Because if you don't repent and you reject the truth, you put yourself in a position to have powerful delusions warp your thinking. Now, why would somebody embrace or get into a powerful delusion? Because they don't want to surrender and submit to God. I don't know, powerful delusions like God doesn't know how to make gender. Oh, see, there's God. He made male and female. But he kind of messed up now, didn't he? Because that's what our legislation says. They kind of messed up. Like, what is wrong with you? He made them male and female. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It's not hard. So let's just get to the truth and use the truth. Let's buy the truth and sell it not. And so when you have things that take place where people say things and it's, oh, this is socially unacceptable. Hey, Christianity was completely socially unacceptable its first 50 or 60 years. They used to kill Christians for being, get ready, a Christian. How's that for socially unacceptable? They used to kill people because they had faith. And you think, well, this is America. Right. And now if you stand on any platform and say you believe the Bible, the Word of God, you believe that Jesus Christ is true, you believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you get crucified by the press or by the social media. Now, where does it go from there? It increases. The righteousness of man apart from God is a fantasy. We talked about that being political correctness. And the bad stuff gonna get worse. Jesus said the love of many will grow cold in the end times. Yeah, that's what we got. We got that rolling on right now. So here's the truth. Buy the truth. Sell it not. The truth is Jesus Christ. What Jesus had to say, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the whole Bible, 66 books, 39 old, 27 in the new, no jumping into extra biblical whatever. Use the plumb line. It's the truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. That's what Jesus said. You might not like it, but you better submit to it or you might go nutty. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Take a short break. We'll be back.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost five grandchildren. He has three separate ordinations from three different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No. I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
What is the purpose of human creation? God was bored and wanted a Tinker toy set to play with. He wanted a Petri dish to look at so he can go, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, as opposed to the mindset that says, well, this whole thing is a divine experiment. The Lord was bored, impossible to be bored if you're not stuck by time, by the way. Oh, you didn't think of that, right? Because he's not bound by time. The purpose of human creation ultimately is four words. Here we go. The purpose of creation for humanity? To fellowship with God.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach so, 97... Sure. I think I said so. If you want to reach the so. Isn't there pig language in that so? Or is that just... Wasn't there like, you know, they something besides sowing and reaping? Isn't there some kind of pig terminology with so?
I don't know.
I mean, I could go soupy, but I don't know if that's anything. I don't think that's anything important. Anyway, the show, if you want to reach the show, 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770. You're probably sitting there saying, why are you having so much fun? This is what I was made for. How do you not? I mean, it's that part's the most awesome part of all. I will tell you, if you go to YouTube and type in the David Spoon... or David Spoon Media, you will hear today's Christian perspective. It's called The Spoon 2-Minute Christian Perspective. And on today's show, I talk about the wall. And I'm not talking about Pink Floyd's The Wall. I'm talking about The Wall. So that's a challenging topic in and of itself. But I do talk about The Wall. I'll maybe jump into that tomorrow. The answer... cleanliness is next to godliness is in what scripture? You ready? Julie, you know, right? You want to tell everybody what scripture it is? That's right. It's not a scripture. Ding, 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 ding. Well, what do you mean? Cleanliness is next to godliness. My mom said so. Well, if she wasn't lying, then it was a joke because it ain't in the book anywhere. In the book, and we'll deal with a couple of those classic sayings. You know, God helps those who help themselves. It's the exact opposite. That's not even. It's the exact opposite of Scripture. Oft times, God will allow the situation to only be redeemed by a miracle, so that you can know it's God. How about that? Wow. Kind of going a different direction there, huh? Okay, and just to make sure you're not getting too serious on me or too upset with me, why didn't the dove return to the ark? On Noah's ark, why didn't the dove return to the ark? The answer, he had sufficient grounds to stay away. That's right. Little legalese for you. All right, so this morning I'm reading in my devotions, and I'm in Matthew chapter 4. If you've read through Matthew chapter 4, you understand that the very first encounter is after Jesus is baptized and the Holy Spirit falls upon him, and the Father says, with him I am fully pleased. Interesting translation there, because fully pleased means that God doesn't say, oh, I just approve of this act, but I'm completely in approval of everything that this person is and does, and that therefore has to take into account not Jesus being baptized as what God approved of, but his relationship with the Father. The next thing that takes place in 4:1, Matthew 4:1, as we read through it, is this. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So it's really difficult for people to grasp this and walk with this, but Jesus was led by the Spirit. I'm going to go in the Greek to lead up. And then you go back to Romans 8:14, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Now, I think it's really important to grasp that Jesus was led into the wilderness when people say, well, every circumstance is easy, that you should consider before Jesus really entered public ministry in any capacity. All he did was do a presentation at the baptism, and then immediately he goes into the wilderness, led by the Holy Spirit, so he can go through a time of testing. We don't like testing. I'll tell you right now, no matter what you say, when you're at school, you know, you're like, okay, pop quiz time. You're like, right? But, you know, Abraham was tested, not tempted, tested by God, and you're tested by God. When's the last time you went through something and thought to yourself, hey, this is a test from the Lord? See, that's why there's crickets there. It's because it's like, oh, man, I haven't thought of that in ages. But the Lord does these things. Now, he doesn't do it to reveal to himself what you're going to do, but to reveal to us what we're made of and what we're really like. And so Jesus goes into the wilderness, go through this temptation, because he's going to bear the temptations of man. And there's some great theology on this, understanding that the three temptations that you review in Matthew are most likely not the majority of all temptations, because Hebrews makes it clear that Jesus was tempted in every way like we are, and it certainly seems like it would go beyond those three. But let's just stick with what we've got and not freak out about it. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And he's in the wilderness. He doesn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. And the tempter, meaning Satan, comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Another translation says, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, change the stones into loaves of bread. And Jesus told him, no. Now watch. Watch this. Jesus is fasting 40 days, 40 nights. The devil comes and tempts him with food. But look at the first thing Satan says. What's the first thing Satan says? It's exactly like the garden. In the garden, when Adam and Eve, when Eve had the encounter, and Adam and Eve were in the garden, Satan said to Eve, yea, hath God said? That was the first thing he said, like, yeah, really? Yeah? That really what he said? Well, here, when the temptation takes place with Jesus Christ, the first thing the devil says is, if you are the Son of God. Well, probably few people on the planet at that point that knew how much he was the Son of God as much as he did, and yet the devil is trying to make him prove it. If you're really the Son of God. And that if, by the way, is a tactic for self-doubt. Not going prosperity gospel here, just talking about as you walk day by day, then gnawing at you, that diminishes you, that speaks to whether you're qualified or you have a capacity to really do the things that the Lord has set before you, that you have in your life. It's a self-doubt. And this tactic was even used against Jesus. And Satan uses it against you too. If you're really Son of the Most High God, if you're really a Christian, if. The problem is a lot of us go, yeah, well, that's a good question. That's the problem right there. So that tactic of self-doubt, man, that's the first thing that was thrown at Jesus in his temptation. I mean, Satan, he's like saying, prove it. There's another really good thread of theology in this that talks about that this was a moment where Jesus could have switched, like he could have called for a legion of angels to come and protect him. He could have switched and used his anointing and his power to feed himself. He could have used his power and anointing to take care of himself, but he didn't. And there's some people that see that as a big part of the temptation. And I love that, because instead of Jesus using what he knows he has that can be a blessing to people, that can bring healing to people, that can touch people, what the devil's trying to do is get him use his giftings on himself for his own benefit. That's the problem when you have ministries that do really well and then they become minister-centered and everything's about whatever the person gets. It's like, that's the problem. You don't want that to happen. And so how does Jesus respond? Does Jesus say, I'm going to get into an argument with you right now. I'm going to fight with you right now. Put him up there. Jesus just says, no, this is what the scripture says. For some reason, there's something in our minds that says it should be long. For some people, they have no engagement with Satan. That's weird, since scripture tells you you do have that. So if you're not having any engagement, you probably want to do a little bit more examination. But number two, Jesus just goes, no. It's not a long, drawn-out treaty. It's not a paper. It's not a midterm. No. That was his response. Do this. No. Sin this way. No. Cut that person off. No. Flip that person off. No. Swear at that person. No. Look at that person in lust. No. Keep that change. Don't say anything. No. Cheat on the test. No. Clock out early. Clock in early. Don't do it with permission. Steal time. No. 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 Not going to do it. And in this case, Jesus answers Satan with what? He doesn't, you know, pull all this bizarre. He quotes Deuteronomy chapter, I think it's chapter 8, verse 3. He just says, look, people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God. He uses what to defeat Satan in temptation? Scripture. You're going to get this theme one way or another. No matter what happens, it's eventually going to get to you. What does he do? He uses scripture. Yeah, you can't quote what you don't know. I mean, that's a reality. And you don't know what you don't read. That's another reality. And Jesus just goes, no, this is what it says. There's nothing more than that. And when you're going through warfare, sometimes you just got to look at the whole thing and go, no. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Nope. In all things we triumph in Christ. Nope. We are more than victorious in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 57-58. Now thanks be unto God who gives us victory in Christ Jesus. How about Romans 8:37? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You just say, no, the truth is this. This is why you got to buy the truth and sell it not. Because those truths are how you defeat the enemy and the world around you. That's how you do it. We come back, we're going to look at one other element that's extremely important. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be right back. Most of my life, it
feels like I've been running. You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
The Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and rain and an apple seed. Yes, he's been good to me.
Doesn't he know there's a lot of cholesterol in lard? I'm losing it here. What? The lard? What is that guy? Where is he from?
The David Spoon Experience.
Wow, what a roof! It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey. You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
A big portion of being guided is asking, prayer, when you're praying with people, fellowship amongst other people can lead you to guidance. It's happened on more than one occasion for me. Counsel is obviously very good, both spiritual and not necessarily biblical. Also, practical counsel is good. Circumstances often speak to us and give us guidance. Open doors, or for that fact, closed doors. We know his word gives us guidance. We know in 2 Corinthians 2:13 and 14, Paul said that he used peace of mind as an aspect of guidance. These are all the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us is, of course, the number one element for guidance is to be led by the Spirit, right? These are all hugely important.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
To the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Quickly, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon Media on Facebook. See, there's David Spoon and there's David Spoon Media. If you want to comment, you can probably go to either one of them. YouTube, David Spoon Media. Also, David Spoon. Just David Spoon, David Spoon Media. Don't you get tired of your name? Here's a secret you don't even know. They changed our family name to get into the country in Ellis Island. You're thinking, oh, what was your original name? Well, our extremely senile great-great-grandmother forgot. As far as I'm concerned, it was Rockefeller, and I got the raw end of the deal. But who knows? DavidSpoon.com is the website. That's kind of an interesting fact, huh? It's like they didn't know, and what are you supposed to do? It's like, and a lot of people back then, there were so many people coming into Ellis Island, they would start naming things for people just as close as they could to what the original name was, and then sometimes they would run out of names, so they'd just start looking at stuff. You, staple, you, paperclip, you, exit. Oh, wait, that's exit. You, time to punch out, gotta go, goodbye. I met that guy. He's got a really long last name. Time to go. Goodbye. Okay. Let's understand what took place on this temptation process, because I want to give you the big key in the temptation process. As Jesus showed, it was clearly the response that Jesus used. He's in quoting scripture. He said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, dealing with temptation and dealing with the enemy. And for that matter, it could be dealing with the situation that you're in or anything along those lines that is contrary to what God is trying to do in advancing the kingdom. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. That passage comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Some people understand that that word in the Greek is rhema. It's both logos and rhema in application, obviously. Since Jesus is the living word, and Deuteronomy 8:3 is not the rhema. Here's the key. What happens next? So Jesus is having this, this little war, cosmic war between him and Satan. I choose to think of things in those terms. Then the devil, it says in verse 5, the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now, before you freak out, there's a lot of commentators and teachers, outstanding Bible teachers. I am going to disagree with some of them, so don't freak out. I don't believe that this is necessarily out of context. It's certainly not misquoted. I think its application is appropriate. I think Jesus' response, if it was misquoted, would have been, you quoted that wrong. I just think that would have been the argument. But that's not what Jesus said. I think the definition and the exegesis is right in the text. What happens is Satan recognizes Jesus is not going to be easy, takes him into the highest point of the temple, has him look all around, throw yourself down. Just take a jump. Jump off, the New Living Translation says. Jump off. What he's saying is prove. Prove it. Prove you're the Son of God. Prove you're the guy. Jump off. Then the angels will have to catch you. Look at what Jesus says. It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Here is the key in understanding. Jesus quoted a scripture. Satan quoted a scripture. But Jesus quoted another scripture. Scripture brings scripture into balance. The best commentator on the Word of God is the Word of God. And what Jesus did by quoting the next portion in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, had to do with Jesus putting into balance the prior scripture. So what Satan was trying to do is pull the scripture out of balance. That's what people do when they take one verse and they forget the context and they run to the moon with it and they try and write a book on it, and that's the only thing that they concentrate on. And it's like, relax, okay? That's not how it goes. Now, it doesn't mean that when somebody is an athlete, and let's use this as a good example. Somebody is an athlete and they go, oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then people get upset. Well, that's not what the verse means. You're right. In context, it doesn't mean that you can run the 50-yard dash in 3 seconds. You're right. But I don't have a problem with a genuine Christian using that, as long as they're not trying to teach that's the core meaning. But that's not what Satan's doing. Satan is trying to pull everything out, and keep in mind, he knows what that book says. He knows it better than you do, which really requires you and I to know it. But he didn't know it better than Jesus, because Jesus not only knew the word, he is the word. He was the word there, and he is the word. And so he says, it is also written. Balance in scripture is key. So people will ask me, well, you know, what about, you know, you have a group in the Baptist realm and a group in the Pentecostal realms. Then you have liberal Christians and conservative Christians. How does that all work? Well, everybody jumping to an extreme is not helping. But if you will look at the body of Christ, you'll notice something amazing. Not everybody is a hand or a foot or a knee or a shoulder or a neck or an ear. Everybody has a different part and a different function within the body. And if the person is a genuine, Bible-believing, born-again Christian, and you think, well, what do you mean born again? Just read John chapter 3. Unless you're born again, you'll not enter the kingdom of God. But a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, if they're genuine in that and come to a different conclusion than you, no problem on that. That's not an out-of-balance thing. But when people throw scriptures around to use for their benefit and are insincere about it, that just reminds you of politics. People will quote, it's amazing. People will misquote, but they'll also quote the Bible. And they'll say, well, the Bible says to do it this way. Now, every other area in their life has no Bible. Except for this one thing where they're trying to win an argument with somebody who believes in the Bible. That's what Satan does. You think, well, are those people doing, is that satanic? Yes. You tell me that politicians can be satanic? Yes. Demonically influenced, without a doubt. Look how many bizarre things have been done since the beginning of mankind. Demonically influenced. Teachings of demons. And people will take one verse or misquote one verse and try and use that as their justification. As soon as they do that, you ought to have the response, are you using all the other verses too, or is that just one you're cherry picking? Because cherry picking is not okay when it comes to Scripture. You got to know it all. You got to read it all. You think, well, how am I supposed to know it all? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit will help you understand. That's that whole thing where the Lord brings it to your remembrance. But you got to be engaged with it. What you really want to watch out for are people that use a verse to establish a cause and then reject all other verses because it doesn't fit with their worldview. That's a problem. You get that? So what am I trying to tell you through all of this? What's the overall communication? Okay, you're going to get offended at me. I love you in the Lord. You have to have your BFN in the book. Julie, do you know what BFN stands for?
I do not.
I can do this because I'm Jewish. You got to get your big fat nose in the book. That's the bottom line. You have to be in the book. You have to know what it says. God didn't write that book because he was just like, yeah, I want to have a bestseller. Come on. He wrote that book so you can have his voice in your hand so you can know what he has to say about stuff. And what's the enemy going to try and do? Keep you away from that. So I challenge you. Here's my challenge. Ready? Let's see if you have the courage. I challenge you. Watch how simple this is. 5 extra minutes. If you read your Bible an hour a day, 5 extra minutes. If you read your Bible no time a day, 5 extra minutes. 5 times this upcoming week. 5 extra minutes, 5 times. You think you can do it? Of course you can do it. You think the Lord would help you do it if you brought that before? Of course he would. You need to switch versions or whatever. I don't care if you read the Psalms. I don't care if you read Song of Solomon or Proverbs. 5 minutes, 5 times. Use it. It's called Gospels. That's Gospels. Best medicine you could ever take. Gospels. Get it? All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll be back with more insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.